Good morning and welcome to HealthWorks. This is Carol Knier, Way Memorial Community Health Manager. First, I want to send a happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there celebrating today, June 19th. Thank you for all you do and hope you have a great day. So on today's show, I have two guests. I have Megan DeMonte. She's the Resource Family Program Supervisor, and I have Megan Grady, and she is one of the Resource Family caseworkers. So good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. So both of you work for the Wayne County Children and Youth Services, but specifically for the Resource Family Program. Now, I know people may be listening and be like, what is the Resource Family Program? But Megan, can you tell us what the former name of the program is and why it was changed?
Sure. So the former name of the program was the Foster Family Program, and it has changed in the recent years to be more strength-based and inclusive. It's coming down from the state, but they just want the agencies and programs to be more mindful of the language that they're using and, more, like I said, inclusive with how they're referring to foster parents, but now we mm-hmm. call them resource parents.
Right, because, we know now, when I say we, our community, our places we live, our counties, our states, that, when a child is removed from their home, yes, they need a bed to sleep in, they need a warm place to live, but they'll also need resources, and the families that are providing this service to them also need resources, correct?
Correct.
And that's the whole purpose of changing the name of it, because it's just so much more nowadays.
Yes, it is.
So what is the mission of your program?
Our mission statement is to open hearts and homes to children whose families are in crisis, to share love, identity, encouragement, and hope to children and families in need, to play a vital role in helping children and families heal and reconnect, to offer permanency and stability to children who cannot be reunified with their birth families, to provide a stable foundation on which children can build successful futures.
Right, because, again, I mean, I just think that that statement says so much. It has so much in it, which is so important, again, to keep these children safe, to have them grow into successful adults and have a I wouldn't say normal childhood, but, some hope and dreams for themselves, correct?
Right. Some form of normalcy.
Right, right. So, over the last couple of years with COVID and everything else, have you seen a greater need for, resource families or parents out there?
So over the past couple of years with COVID and everything, we have unfortunately seen an increase in drug use, more specifically methamphetamine, coming from the parents and caregivers of these children who are coming into care and need to be in and out of home placement. So yes, it's like I said, it's been unfortunate, but we have seen an increase in that. We've seen more of an increase for the need of kinship care recently. There's a lot of things coming down from the state that are pushing for kinship care. And what I mean by that is that the child is going to be placed with a relative or someone that they have a connection with. So it doesn't have to be a blood relative. It could be a teacher. It could be someone they know at church something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So for the kinship families, that's something that we, when a child does come into agency care, we do what's called family finding, and we look for those family members or friends or
close contacts, like you said, right. Like a teacher or somebody like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody that the child has a relationship with, that could possibly become a resource parent for that child, mm-hmm. and the child could be placed with them.
Right. Which in my mind would be a better transition for that child because they're familiar with that
correct.
Surrounding and that information as opposed to putting them in a home for someone they may not know. But although you do that also because, again, you know, resources may, you may not have as many resources as you would like to have for that child, correct?
Right. Correct. And yeah, I mean, like, it depends on the child and the child's needs. Sometimes we don't have a non-kinship home mm-hmm. that might be willing to take that child based off of their needs and behaviors, but there might be a family member who is equipped to take them.
Right. So overall, when we look at the program, what is a resource family? What is the resource family care like? How can somebody become one, and what's the process?
Sure. So the resource family care is a service through which children who have to be separated from their natural parents or caregivers are provided substitute family care for a planned period of time. So it is, you know, a situation that has reached a certain threshold within the agency to say that there's the child's not safe mm-hmm. with their caregivers or parent, and they need to be removed. And that whole situation goes through the court to approve that, you know, the judge approves that mm-hmm. Removal and placement of the child.
Right.
So then that's when kind of that from day one, everything starts there as far as family and finding and, you know, who can we place this child with? Sometimes we can't find a family member right away and we have to go to a non-kinship traditional foster home, which we do have several of here in Wayne County and even a little outside of Wayne County. We have, yes. You know, a mm-hmm. nice area that really, yeah, it spreads nice area of right. our homes.
Right. So Megan, so you as a caseworker, that's something that you do. You work with these families on both sides, correct?
Yes.
And
yes.
you help these children get settled in. But do you also work with families that may want to become a family resource?
Yes. Often as a caseworker, we also do the home study process, which that's prior to them actually being a licensed resource parent. That's where we work together and provide trainings. We go through all of the paperwork with them. So a lot of the times we're involved with these families from the day that we schedule an interview with them all the way until they decide to close their home for good. So mm-hmm. we stay involved for really as long as the family would like to be involved with us.
Right. And that's a question that I thought of too, is like, so if I say wanted to become a resource home to have children come to me, how long do I get involved with the program? Is there a limit, for these families, just in case, because maybe somebody wants to do it for a year mm-hmm. or maybe they want to do it for a long time, or maybe they can only do it for 6 months. Is that a possibility for families? Like, do you encourage them longer to be involved?
I mean, like Megan said, it's kind of up to the families mm-hmm. and how long they want to be involved. If they start the process and they're like, oh my goodness, this is really not for us, or, mm-hmm. you know, we're having difficult times elsewhere and we need a little break. We've had our foster parents or resource parents, sorry,
yes.
go on breaks mm-hmm. where they still remain open with us, but we wouldn't be calling them for a placement until they tell us that they're ready.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well,
so
which
that's
is,
possible.
Right, which is nice because then there's flexibility there mm-hmm. for yes, these families right. that they don't feel like, you know, that they may need a break after having a child in
correct.
Their home that's maybe reunited with their birth parents or mm-hmm. their caregivers, you know, on that end, which is
yes.
which is good to know. But there is paperwork correctly. There is background checks and
yes.
stuff that they
mm-hmm.
do need to go through that because it's important because, you know, you're removing a child from a home that's not safe. You need to put them in a safe environment, correct?
Yes. Yes. So like Megan was saying before, we have a very extensive check and home study that we complete on the potential foster parents that are coming in. And that includes clearances. We do a gathering worksheet to ask all kinds of questions about you and your history, your partner, your children, if you
mm-hmm.
have any in the home, even if they're grown adult children, we ask about those too.
Okay.
You know, where you went to school, where do you work, where did you work in the past, what are your past addresses for the
mm-hmm.
past 10 years. So yes, we do a very intense, and I don't mean to make it sound scary or anything, but
right.
very intense search and investigation almost.
Right, but that's part of your job is to mm-hmm. make sure you, like you said, you're taking those children out in an unsafe environment. You want to put them into the safest environment you possibly can for them, correct. Because you want them to grow. You want them to, you know, move forward and get the help they need, mm-hmm. right? And that's important thing is like, you know, so once these children are placed in their home, you know, they're approved and they become a licensed home to have that children, you continue to work with those families, right? With those resources. For those children.
We're reaching out almost on a daily basis initially, mm-hmm. you know, just to check in how things are going. I feel like that's a really strong point with our program is that, you know, our foster parents don't feel alone.
Right.
And we don't want them to feel in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're reaching out when there's an initial placement. We do an initial placement visit, which mm-hmm. is done within 10 days of placement. We have to perform unannounced visits when there's a child placed in the home, and that is done once every quarter
mm-hmm.
to make sure that the home is up to par and all the safety requirements are in place, like smoke detectors and mm-hmm. things like that.
Oh, right. And which then, any home should have anyway, right?
Yes.
We just had a kid safety fair, you know, and the Red Cross was there, and the Red Cross gives out free smoke detectors.
That's
so
great.
There should be, yes, and they'll come and they'll install them in their home. I know this is not a show for the Red Cross, but this is something that I learned when you go out in the community that there should be no home without a smoke detector, and there are free smoke detectors out there for families.
Yeah.
So that's a good resource for you. So if you have a family that may need,
they need one on every floor of their home, including the attic and the basement.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So yeah, it can get a little costly.
It can.
But
those are resources that you can help people with, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, if there are people listening and they are interested in becoming a foster family / resource family, can they reach out to you? How do they go about doing that?
Yes. So they would call our agency, Wayne County Children and Youth, at the main number, it's 570-253-5102. And you would ask to speak with the intake department. They will take your information, your name, dates of birth, socials, your address, how many people live in your home. And, you know, just a little basic information, you know, like what you're looking for. So if you just call and say, I'm interested in foster care or mm-hmm. the resource family program, they, the intake team will pass that information down to me, and then I make the call to them directly to start the whole process.
That's wonderful, and I do. I hope this generates some calls out there for you. I mean, because it's so important, because you do have success stories with children, you know, being mm-hmm. removed from homes for you know, various reasons, and then putting them into these resource families / foster homes, and get the great benefits for these children, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So they... I always tell our foster parents that, you know, from day one that a child's being placed in your home, you're working with that child and preparing them to go back home to their parents. That's mm-hmm. our number one goal is reunification. And while we have the ongoing team working with those parents directly and rehabilitating them and getting them to where they are safe again and can take their children back, we work directly with the resource parents, and they're working with the child. So, yes, they're taking in a lot of the child's trauma
mm-hmm.
And behaviors and what comes with placement and whatever they dealt with in the home.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also, they're getting the resources for them. They're getting them therapy if they need it and taking them to the doctor, the dentist, the eye doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, getting them fully prepared for a return home to their parents.
Right. So again, right at this time, I do want to give a shout out to all the resource families that you do have in the program. Thank you. Thank you for everything you do. And if they're not listening, please extend, our thanks from Wayne Memorial Hospital and our team here, because, what they do is so special and so important for our community. And you are always looking for families within our community, correct? Because it's nice to have those children, if they can, to stay close to home, to go to their own school districts and things like that, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes, we try absolutely to do that. You know, if a child's coming from the Lake Ariel area and they are already going to the Western Wayne School District, we mm-hmm. would like to, if at all possible, keep them in their home school mm-hmm. district. Mm-hmm. It just lessens the trauma.
Right.
Right. If at all possible.
So both of you, Lise, Megan and Megan, thank you so much for everything you do for our children, for our families and our community, because it really is an important service that you provide.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And again, this is Carol Kanier, Way Memorial Community Health Manager. I want to thank you for listening and have a great day.